When Klal Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar for 40 years, the Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, the weather conditions were such that there was a, if one were to do a bris milah, if one was to do a circumcision, there'd be a slight suffix sakana. In fact, that's why Rashi in Devarim, Lamed Gimel Tes points out, that's why Shevet Levi, that's why everyone except Shevet Levi did not fulfill the mitzvah of Milah. Why didn't the Jewish people do the Milah? Because it says Milah Shena, so Pashtus, it means in Joshua, it means the Priya. Others point out, no, it's a national circumcision. In other words, now that, because only Shevet Levi did it in the Midbar. So the Shiloh is, like what, so they had a Machlokas in the Midbar between Shevet Levi and everybody else. So the Shiloh is, so what do you do when there's a Machlokas? If there's a debate, you speak to your Rav. And as Rav Schachter likes saying, there was an Orthodox rabbi in the Midbar, and his name was none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. So why didn't everyone ask? Either Shevet Levi or the other Shvatim, like either, am I correct? I shouldn't do it. I should do it. Why would there be a Machlokas? Let's find out what Moshe Rabbeinu says. We know it's Torah's Moshe. You can't get a greater posek than that. And therefore, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if you assume it was a suffix sakana, so then Shevet Levi can't do it. As the halacha is that if someone, we know Meso Achav Machmas Mila, that if you're in danger, your brother's died because hemophilia, so we don't let you go ahead and do a bris mila, or in cases where it's a sakana. So how could Shevet Levi do it? And if it wasn't a suffix sakana, so why didn't everyone do it? That's a famous kasha, the Chasam Sofer, among others. So, Rav Schachter explains based on a Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, 116:6, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. It's also in Shabbos morning davening. That Shomer Pesayim Hashem means Hashem protects the fools. Hashem protects the simple. Of course, the question is, how much of a fool do you have to be? So what does that mean exactly? What are the parameters of Shomer Pesayim Hashem? So the Gemara seems to say that whenever there's a very small, slight sakana, in other words, if it's, there's objective levels, if it's, I think as Rav Chaim Ozer says, if it's anywhere near in the Yizachiezer, if it's anywhere close to 50-50, then of course it's Usur, it's a real suffix sakana. But let's assume it's a very slight suffix sakana. In other words, if it's not dangerous at all, so then you have to do Mila. If it is a sakana, you can't do it. So is there ever a time where some people could do Mila and some people cannot? So that's what the Gemara is telling me. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. It's a very slight sakana, but you are adding to the sakana by doing a Mila. Or be very slightly. So the question is, and it depends on you. See, halacha usually has objective criteria, but certain times they give us subjective ones. And this is one of them. It depends on the patient, depends on the one doing it. If the person is very nervous about it, and they're really nervous about adding even a drop of a suffix sakana, so then that person shouldn't do it. If the person's not nervous about it, then wouldn't you have a mitzvah mila? So perhaps that could have been when we had the bris mila during, and still is, but we have the bris mila during coronavirus, especially in the beginning, when we knew less about it, that and people were concerned. Maybe we should hold off So it's a, again, so you have to speak to a posek to see maybe, you know, if you do it with the proper PPE and other things, how you work out mitzitza, if you use a sponge, if you don't even do mitzitza. The different details in terms of how could you try to prevent it. But hypothetically anyway, that let's say there was a situation where people were nervous, rightfully so. So then there'd be reason to, you could, some one person could get a bris milah, one cannot, like we have by Sheva Levi. So, so we see that if one individual is concerned and the other, so for one person it's mutter, for the other person it's not. So, so however, when do we say Shome Pesayim Hashem? That's only when we're talking about you. If it, if you're involved on your own hand. So let's say today is a whole big issue with to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. So again, so you can have different studies done, but I mean, I don't, no, I mean, unless you're someone who has a problem, you can't breathe, wearing masks in general isn't going to harm you. The question is whether it's going to help. Of course, if it's going to harm, if it's going to harm you, you don't wear one. You speak to your local doctor if you have problems breathing. But a healthy individual, that generally speaking, so if everyone's wearing masks, so at this point they say, you know, people are better protected. In worst case, even if they're wrong, you're not making it worse. So let's assume in our case, and we can see whether the mask fits in or not, but let's say I'm not worried, or someone, a person's not worried. I don't need to wear a mask. I'm not worried about it. But let's say, let's talk about shul based on Knesset. So if you have a minority of people who are not worried, and the majority of people are worried, you know, we'll get into details how many have to be worried, versus how many not to, but let's assume the majority are concerned and they wear masks. So could I say now? Well, I'm not concerned. I'm not going to wear them. No. So when, so if it's a situation where, perhaps, again, I'm not saying it is. Again, if there's a law to wear masks, and then it's a separate issue. Even if it wouldn't be a sakana, you get into dina machus adina, perhaps, or you get into Chil Hashem, if the government says to wear a mask, again, it's not specifically against Jews, it's an issue of safety, it's not a Shas HaShemad. So therefore, in individual cases, we could discuss it. However, if you're in a shul, you're in a, or forget about a shul, you're in a supermarket, you're anywhere else where most people are concerned, that's the norm, and you're not concerned, then you have to wear a mask. Because it only helps if by yourself. In other words, it's the famous ma'isa. They say there's a ma'isa with the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish. The Chafetz, they say over the Chaz, the, I think the Chazon Ish says over the ma'isa, but the Chafetz Chaim was in Europe, and he went to one of the towns, and he had two exact, well, they weren't exact, but the shailas were similar, and however the answers were different. He had one person came to him and said, "You know what? I'm very concerned." What are you concerned about? That they're going to be pogrom soon or worse, and I don't have any money, and I'm going to have to be able to leave on a dime, paying, bribing the officials to get me out of the country. And the only way I can get this money now is have to work on Shabbos. So the Chabad said, "Do you really believe it? Do you believe that by working on Shabbos, it will actually save your life?" He said, "Yeah, I do believe it." He said, "Okay, great. You could work then." And he gave it, and another one came an hour later, he asked the same Shaila. He said, "No, I don't believe it, but everyone's saying it, so I might as well give it a shot." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "You cannot work on Shabbos." So, why? Because it's a case with a slight suffix sakana. And the question is, whether you, if it was objectively, like if you knew this was happening, and then, you know, then maybe everyone should. But the scenario was where it was only a slight suffix sakana. So then, it depends on the individual. Like the Chazon Ish writes that, I guess when the Nazis at one point wanted to take over the world, so the, Israel was a key part of it. So the, so So the Maisa was that they were, back in the day, there were no radars, so the only way they could pinpoint someone if there were lights, so they only could bomb during the day, because they couldn't see anything at night. So that's why you see, that's why they go crazy on a ship, someone lights a match, a fire, and then everyone can see it. But today we have radars, but back then, so the child was like this. In fact, the Rosh Hashanah says over many times about his father, when he was living in U.S., there many times there were like practice raids. Practice where you have to shut your lights off. So I guess Rav Melech Shechter felt, well, it's only practice. He's going to leave his lights. He's not going to shut his lights off. And of course, meaning because it was Friday night. If it was during the week, he would have. So he said that different people came to his house and he explained it. And sometimes they accepted, other times they gave him a ticket. You know, you can discuss whether you should do it in a practice raid or not. Is that enough? Is that a... Are you putting people in danger, etc.? But either way, that was his psaka. That's what he did, anyway. So the shaila is, let's say it's real. You know, it's a real thing. So the case was, the Nazis were bombing. You couldn't tell from the town you were in whether they were like 50 miles away, or 200 miles away, or whatever the numbers are. It was hard to know. So some people were nervous, and therefore they wanted to shut the lights off. So of course, you get the suffix sakana. So the Chazon Ish says, okay, it doesn't make any sense that if I'm shutting my lights off and you're leaving your lights on, it's not going to help. So therefore, you're allowed to shut your lights off because of the people who are nervous about it, because for them it's Shomer Pesayim Hashem, and it's a suffix sakana. So when you're dealing with yourself, it goes by what you want. But if you're dealing in a rabbim, so you have to go with the rabbim, and if everyone's shutting off the lights, you would have to also. So same thing, Sheva Levi, they weren't worried, and therefore they were able to do the bris milah. However, others were concerned. There was an elevated risk, and you know, same thing, again, to the different time periods. There might have been different time periods, and maybe there are, there were, you should close the shuls because it's such a real sakana. I guess it depends where you live, and I guess the gedolim will make that decision, which they had. So other times where they shut them down completely, other times they opened up, but they all clearly state, if a person's nervous, don't come. Because for you, you know, you're exempt from tefillah b'tzibur if you're nervous about coming because of sakana. So that's what they point out, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. And in fact, that the only time you could, and also, it makes a big difference if it's for religious reasons or not. In other words, the Rakanti writes, one of the Bali Tosvos, he talks about that one of the Bali Tosvos were very sick, a chole sheyish bo sakana. And the doctors told him if he fasts on Yom Kippur, he will definitely die. And there's a slight chance that he'll live. He'll probably die anyway, even if he eats. So he decided to fast, and of course he died. So all the Bali Tosfos went crazy over him. He said, you did the wrong thing. It's against halacha. What do you mean? He didn't want to eat on Yom Kippur, you'll say. So we know in general, there's a machlokes, the Bali Tosfos, and the Rambam. Let's say, we know there's the big three. If they tell me to violate one of the three cardinal sins, I would have Zara, Gila, Raya, Shri Chasam, and then I have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. What if a person wants to put a fight over kosher? Or he wants to be Moser Nefesh, I don't care, I'm only going to eat kosher, I don't care what you say. So this is a machlokas. The Rambam's opinion is, you're not allowed to volunteer for Kiddush Hashem. And if you do, it's like suicide. Another Rishonim disagreed and said that you have a right to be Moser Nefesh for kosher for Shabbos. However, the one important caveat is that's only if someone, if it's an issue of Shasha Shmad or like some religious issue, like, he wants you to violate Shabbos because it's Shabbos. However, if there's no one pressuring me to violate my religion, my halachas, then even the Bali Tosis would agree with the Rambam. It's not a midas chasidus to ignore the sakana. It has to be some reason. And it can't just be because of a physical thing like the Rakanti. It has to go, but it has to be some type of religious factor. And that's what the Rambam writes, that he used to take a stand against the Gemara on medical issues. That's what the Chasam Sofer says, because the Ram was a doctor and he did exactly what the Tanan did. They followed the doctors of their generation. So therefore, we have to speak to the doctors of our generation to consider what's a sakana and what's a suffix sakana. But that's what we see from the incident in the Midbar, that Sheva Levi was right in doing the Bris Mila, and the rest of the Shvatim were right not doing a Bris Mila. Kashomer Pesayim Hashem, there is a point in Halacha, a lot less than 50-50, as Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski points out, where it depends on if a person is nervous. Generally speaking, usually we have objective halachas, like if it's a 90%, that's a sakana, that's it, there's nothing to talk about. And other times, if it's not a sakana, you have to do it, but there is a percentage, there's a time in halacha where we apply the principle of Shomer Pesayim Hashem, so those who are nervous about it will stay home, those who are not could go. And of course, if you're in a public place, and there are, even though I'm not nervous, but others are, so then I'd be obligated to wear the mask as well, or do whatever the situation requires, in order not to put someone else who feels that I'm endangering their life.